Please be seated, great people of God. So glad, so excited, and I'm so grateful to God that I'm part of this, particularly to have been favored to be one of those vessels that God will be using to bring to pass what he has proposed in his mind for this gathering. Well, I know God to be a script, the best script writer, and all we see, we live to see and experience every day, they are just putting people in places to place their own role in that which he has eternally written. So for me, I want to believe that God is also open our eyes to see practically what he has written eternally. So that we are meeting here today, regardless of who is here, who is not here, God is aware of it. So we have nothing to regret. We are nothing to look back to. Rather, we have every reason to look forward. Because every promise of God, they have their fulfillment located in the front, not behind. Canaan is always in the front, while Egypt and the Red Sea are behind. So I believe we are moving forward. And definitely we'll get to where God is taking us to. So I appreciate the leadership of the fellowship in this center. I appreciate all our fathers here seated. I appreciate the set man of this assembly who have magnanimous enough to allow us to make use of this beautiful place of worship, and also making himself available to be part of this meeting. I believe he might have made so many things available for this gathering beyond what we can actually exhaust easily. Pray God will bless him, his family, and ministry in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we just pray? Father, we thank you. We have every reason to thank you today. Thank you because we are part of your agenda. Thank you because we are part of your purpose. Thank you because your eyes is on us. Thank you because we are not just being tolerated in our generation, but we are needed. Thank you, Jesus, for this meeting. Thank you, Lord, for what you have proposed in your heart to do. Wish nothing will change your mind. Nothing will alter your agenda. Nothing we thwart that which you have ordained eternally. So, Lord, we are grateful to you, for you will do all you have written concerning this meeting to the glory of your name and the blessing of your people. Eternal God, be exalted in the name of Jesus. Lord, we have come to reason in the light of what you have chosen us to be, what you have called us to be, our reordination. Lord, you have brought us, O God, here for us and for you to actually expose to us what we're expected to do, having chosen to be the light and the salt of the air. Lord, as we're listening, may the Holy Spirit open a height of understanding in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that your own mind will be made known, clear to every one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. A louder amen.
Amen.
Let's quickly open our Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Before I read, let me also acknowledge the presence of one of our leaders there, and also congratulate him for his new appointment as I'm sorry if I didn't get the nomenclature right, the secretary to the research department of Great Mission, Pastor Adetunji, am I right? God bless you, sir. You are welcome. Welcome to Ibadan, so the city of peace. And a place of fulfillment. You are honored in Jesus' name. So we turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 13 up to verse 16. Matthew chapter 5. You are the light, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Very briefly, I've been asked to speak on a topic, salt and light, our identity and functions. Salt and light, our identity and functions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Looking at these few verses of the scripture we just read, there are so many lessons, there are so many instructions, there are so many things that worth sitting down and open up to God to actually instruct our heart on. Why? Because it's not just a statement made as just a comment, but God intentionally bringing us and bringing to our understanding not what we are to become, not what we are likened to, but directly telling us who
we are. So because God is bringing to us the right picture, the clear picture, in a very simple term, who we are, so to me and for me, it becomes a very heavy issue for us to look at it critically, to look at it with all sense of responsibility, to understand the mind of God, and also to function in the same capacity. There's a difference between somebody saying, God, make me to become this. But it's different from God coming out and said, you are this. This is who you are. This is what I have made you to be.
Hallelujah.
So, first and foremost, I saw in this subject that we are considering this moment that it expresses a principle. There is one outstanding principle, eternal principle, that explains how things are done in God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. When you look at the book of Matthew, you will come across that it is only in the book of Matthew you hear the word the kingdom of heaven. And in several places, this word kingdom of heaven is being mentioned repeatedly. What is that telling us? It's actually telling us that there is a kingdom. We are the kingdom of this world, but Jesus came to introduce to us the kingdom of heaven. So, and every kingdom is being governed by principles. So this subject we are looking at is actually bringing forward one outstanding and fundamental principle of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So if we don't look at it and we just put our eyes off the kingdom and the principle that governed it, we are not likely to catch the mind of God. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
I will repeat myself. Because when you are studying the Bible, especially a particular book, and you come across that specifically and intentionally, certain word or statement are being said repeatedly, that's to tell you that there is nothing, no subject you should discuss in that book without looking at that statement as a foundation to explain it. So there is no way we'll be talking about being the salt, being the light, without looking at it in the light of God's kingdom, in the light of the kingdom of heaven and its principles. Are you with me? Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. So this subject we are considering is expressing a principle. And what is this principle? It is the principle of being before doing. Principle of what? Being before what? Before doing. So when you check the Bible very well, you will discover that this principle is fundamental. That until you have become God is not even expecting any action from you until you are the person whom God wants to see. God is not expecting any heart from you. You know, God, he will not create any emergency that will make a wrong person to showcase anything in his kingdom. There will be no that emergency. Because it's a principle. It's a culture. It's a lifestyle. It's a structure that before your heart, you must what? You must be. Are you with me? Are you with me? Why is it like that? It is like that because the strength to act or to function is always drawn from your being. That's why it's like that. The strength that you need to function, the ability, the capacity to do all that is expected of you, it is out of place to look for that strength outside of you. Rather, where should it be located? Huh? From you. So that's why when you look at the salt and the light, you discover that no external influence as touching their functionality. No external. There is nothing to add to the salt to make it sweet. Am I right? There is nothing. In itself, there is what? The sweetness is there. There is nothing to add to the light to make it shine. You know, in itself, light is forceful that it won't allow anything to prevent him bringing forth his light. So it's forceful. So that's why wherever darkness is operating, darkness knows that its operation in anywhere is temporary. So there is this sense that in any place at any time, darkness is not taking permanency. So it's always operating on a temporary pattern, because the moment that light comes in, what happened? Darkness will disappear. So that's why Jesus said, the light shines in the darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. So anywhere you see darkness, it's only there temporarily. Once light comes into that environment, automatically, darkness must what? Darkness must disappear. So we are looking at a kingdom principle that you are not expected, you are not invited, you are not tolerated, you are not allowed, you are not permitted to do when you have not what? You have not been. Very important. Except you only want to live your life to impress. That's all. And that one is not very difficult. Except you just want to be an opposite of whom people are calling you. But if you want to be original, then being must come before what? Before doing. Hallelujah. So, to effect change and impart your word, you must be the salt. Understand not a salt. What is it? The salt. You must be the salt. The salt that sweetens and the light that dispels darkness. Meaning that your impact and your influence in life are a direct reflection of your person. Direct what? Reflection of your person. So when you see a light shining, it's not shining from another source. It's just shining from its own source. So when you see a man walking, the original is not elsewhere. It's the man that is actually what? That is walking. So, whatever your influence, your impact in the world, it cannot far away from your person. So it's a reflection of who you are. So that's why Jesus, we said, follow me, for I will what? I will make you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was sharing with our workers in the church a few days ago. I said, the workshop and the showroom, they are always together. Behind every showroom, what do you find? You find a workshop. So, and once a wood escapes the workshop, they will never bring that wood to where? To the showroom. So it's a principle that we need to understand. So, and that's why what God is not able to do in me, he may not likely do it through me. No, it's not about you desire it. It's not about you want it. It's not about that is the need of my environment. God will rather delay it until the right person arrived. I've never seen God in haste. He's doing anything. He's never in haste. He's never in hurry. He will rather wait. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. During the Easter period, I was in a place to minister on a topic, and Jesus said, it is finished. And I look at that statement very critically, that how many of us have it as a passion within us that the interest of God, it is not only for us to start. That starting is not the work. That the most important thing about our journey and assignment here on earth is what? Is to reach the finish line. Devil is not intimidated with any form of starting we have. His concern is that to stop us from what? From finishing well. So, and because God is not interested in just the fact that we have started, that's why his first concern is not what you will do. It's you yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So because both salt and light are both needed for God to have the word he desires. So their functionality is not optional. The function of the salt, the functions of the light are not what? They are not optional. Because without them, the kind of the world that God desires to see will never see it. So the functionality of the salt and of the light is not optional. It's mandatory. It's needed. It's compulsory. So light or salt and light in the world, they are necessity for God to see the kind of the world, the heart he desires to see. So that's why God said, and Jesus said, you are what? I can't hear you. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. Without salt, the heart will decay, becoming bitter, becoming tasteless, meaningless, useless, purposeless, and of no value. So the heart, we have no meaning. The heart, we have no purpose. The heart will be bitter than useless. And there will be no value. And for that not to happen, God said, you are what? You are the light. You are the salt. Praise the Lord. You agree with me that salt functions to bring sweetness, flavor, taste, preservation, to prevent one thing, decay. To prevent what? Decay. So the world will not be the kind that God wants to see if the salt is not there and the light is not there. Light functions primarily, and I'm going to dwell more on that, that the primary function of light is to bring life. What's the primary function? Life. Life. You know, to actually understand what a subject or something is standing for in the Bible, you need to see where it is ever first mentioned. Where was the light mentioned first? It was in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, the earth became what? Became used, became empty. Became shapeless and formless. And darkness was where? Up covered the face of the earth. The face of the deep was covered with darkness. So you'll be surprised that three things were mentioned that have befed the heart. Three things have turned the world to something else. Three things have deprived God of his beauty, the design, what he desired to see. But when God will address the issue, don't be surprised, he started with the last one. Knowing where that the last one was the cause of the other two. So he didn't say, let somebody come around and put this shapeless situation into a shape. No. But what did he say? Let there be light. So there was no life, because darkness is synonymous to death. While light represent what? Represent life. Where there is light, there is life. Where there is no light, there is no what? There is no life. And that's why the light we are considering today, we are not looking at the electrical light. You need to understand that. We are not looking at the light of the bulb. We are not looking at the torch light. But we are looking at a life that is light. Are you getting what I'm saying now? A life that is what? Huh? That is light. So that's why Jesus said, you have what? The light and the salt of the world. Praise the Lord. So, two things before us. Identity and what? And function. Let's start from the word identity. Verse 13 said, you have the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the heart. You are the light of the world. Please, people of God, understand. Jesus is not saying air. You are like the light. There's no a promise that you will become what? The light. So this is not just a mere declaration. Rather, it is a public announcement of our ordination. So it's not just a mere declaration. That hear what God is saying about it. He said, you are the salt. He said, you are. No. It is a public declaration of our ordination. So he's talking about your ordination. He's talking about what you have been authorized, what you have been empowered to do. That's what the Bible is saying. Not that you become the light, not that you become the salt. You have been ordained to do what? To function in the capacity of the salt and what? And of the light. So we are not talking of something we should be looking forward to happen. But we are looking at something that has happened. We are already. We are looking at that investment of God inside of every one of us. And God is saying, can't you acknowledge it? Are you not aware of it? Are you not conscious of it? He said, you are the salt. You are the light. Both the word and what? And the health. Praise the Lord. So you are not to become. He said, you are the light. You are the salt of the earth. And you are the light. You are actually the light of the world. Praise the Lord. So the world without you, that world will be in darkness. That's how important you are. That's how relevant you are. Praise the Lord. You know, we need to come to understand who we are in Christ. When a child of God will be struggling for relevance, when you are already relevant. He's not talking about me. He said, you are the light. I've never seen light struggling for relevance. Because where there is no light, nothing will happen there. Praise the Lord. Nothing will happen. Where there is no salt, there will never be sweetness. Salt in the market It will announce itself to anyone who comes around and said, it's better you buy me. No. Allow her, let her buy everything. She will later realize that the real thing has been forgotten. So salt will not cry for relevance. Will not cry for importance. Will not cry and say, let people see me. Today people cry. People are struggling to be known. When we are less concerned whether we are even known by the God of heaven. So the point is we are talking about a public announcement of your and my ordination. You have been ordained to be what? The salt and what? And the light. So it is a proclamation of your legislation. God is saying, nothing can stop you. You have been authorized to function, to operate in this capacity anywhere, anytime. You have a legal ground. You have the backing of heaven to do everything that the salt will do and everything that what? The light will do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is something that is important here which I will need to call your attention to. The Bible is not talking from what you are going to have. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
Jesus is not saying you will have the salt of the heart, or you will have the light of the world. Listen to me very carefully. It simply means God is talking about what a nation should be. The nature of God, the nature of every child of God, every child of God should operate by nature as what? Salt and light. Now, when light is your nature, when light is your being, so anytime you see darkness, you are offended. I don't know, maybe you understand what I'm saying. So Jesus is bringing to us that you dealing with darkness should not be a matter that darkness is not affecting you, it's only affecting your neighbor. Are you getting what I'm saying? For you to just look at it, I think I don't have any issue with that. In as much darkness is not where, it's not coming to my own apartment. But God is saying, the fact that you are in that environment, it is an insult to your person that darkness is around. I don't know, maybe you understand what I'm saying. So it's an insult. That's where you should say it. That I am the light. So whether darkness is just passing by, you have the license, you have the backing of heaven to challenge that darkness. You know, there's a scripture that the way we interpret it is different from the contents of the Bible. Said where the Bible says, I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not what? shall not prevail. The way we look at that scripture, we look at it from the perspective that the church will stand on defense so that anything that the gate of hell come to attack the church, it won't be able to do that. That's not this, that's not the interpretation. The interpretation is that it is the church that will go on attack against what? The gate of hell. Not that the church will stand on defensive. The church must go on what? Offensive. And God is saying, you have this assurance. As you go to attack the devil, you attack the gate of hell, I can assure you of one thing. The gate of hell will not prevail. So we are talking about something that has to do with, it's not something that has to do with what you have, not something that has to do with what you become, not something that has to do with what will be given to you, but something that has to do with your person. Your person. So it becomes an insult that you are there and darkness is still finding a space around. Even if it's operating in 10 house to your home, you have a responsibility to rise and say, no, this is my territory. This is my territory. So, and you go there. You don't need to fight. You don't need to speak. Once you appear, darkness will understand the language. It knows that time to leave, time to quit, time to disappear as what? Has come. Praise the Lord. Those great men and women of God who has championed the freedom, the liberation, the joy and fulfillment that you enjoy right there on campus, they went on attack, they launched attack against the kingdom of hell. They were challenged that they were there as children of God, light and the salt of the heart, and darkness is doing something. Are we together? So it was a challenge to them. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I read of, I heard of one of the stories of the late Ben Idauza, that at a particular time, a group wanted to host a program in Benin City. These occultic group, and Ben Idauza heard about it, and he went on radio and said, "Go and pick another venue." Said, it can't be in Benin City. It can't be in Benin City. So the leader of that group now went to counter what he said. And the man said, they have already fixed Benin City as their venue. And that you, Ben, you can't stop us. Even God himself cannot stop us. So, and this man of God went back and he said, why I come back to respond is because you mentioned God. He said, I want to inform you that leave God out of this matter. Leave Baba alone. He said, I, Ben Idauza, will stop you. No, he became uncomfortable. Not because of what he has, but because of who he was. It is a challenge on his person. It's an insult on his person. So he's not talking, it is not a right prayer. You are there on our campus. Well, I don't know what campus has become. All my prayer is that God just preserve me, protect me, so that I finish my 4-year course and leave this place. You are not a light. You are not the light. You should be concerned. You know, your concern on campus should not be primarily you finishing your program. Your primary concern should be that as long as you are there, there should be no space for darkness. Because your person represents what? Light. Not like light. You are just what? The light. You are what? The salt. So that's why when God we made man, he made man in his own image. The response of God in Genesis chapter 1 was to tell the devil that this is an insult. Come into my territory. Come in to touch what I have done. Come in to bring your kingdom closer to my place. And God spoke out, let there be what? Be light. And there was light. And Jesus, your master and the master said, he said, for your information, when I was here in the world, I am what? The light of this world. He said about John, his testimony about John was that John was a shining and burning lamp. And that is what God is calling us to do, to be. So the matter is not about whether you are affected or not. You must be affected. Once darkness is around, you must be moved. You must be challenged. Why? Because answer to whatever darkness is doing, the answer is with you. Is somebody get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a question? I had this same question in our church a few weeks ago. I said, who do you blame when there is no light in your street? When there is no light, who do you blame? In your campus, who do you blame when there is no light, when there is no electricity? Huh? Okay, who else? Huh? Okay, can I ask you, in Nigeria today, who do we blame? NEPA. Who is NEPA? Huh? All right? Okay? So, the truth is that we have people to blame. If there's no light in our communities, in our place of living and the like, then when there is no light, what happened? What happened? There'll be darkness. All right? If darkness is parading your campus, who is to blame? You are the one. Because you are the light there. So, spiritual light in that environment, the authority to bring light, to bring brightness, to bring illumination, to bring life into that community, the authority has been given to you. That's why I said, you are not like the light. You are not to become the light. You are not to have the light. But who are you? You are the light. So it's not talking about something to work on. But rather it's talking about something that have been what? That have been worked upon. And the next thing for it to do is to what? Is to function. You've been worked upon. You'll be made. So the next thing for you is for God to sit back and begin to see you coming out in that reality, functioned in that capacity.
Praise the Lord.
I've said, it speaks about our ordination. It speaks about our function. It speaks about our legislation. So, you have not just been informed. This passage of the Bible is not just informing us of who we are, but you are authorized. Not just being informed. There's a difference between haven't known that you are supposed to do that. It's different from go and do that. So it's not just to inform us that we are the light, but it's to what? God is coming here, authorize us to function and act in that capacity. Praise the Lord. Can I bring this to you, people of God? It is not enough that you know. So don't leave this place and say, yes, now I know that I am the light. No, it's not enough. Now that I know I am the salt. No, it's not enough. So that's why this passage is not about information. So it's not enough that you know. What is enough for you to shine? Not just you knowing, but you must shine out. Knowing is nothing if it does not accompany doing. Do you hear me? Yes. Knowing is what? It's nothing. It's nothing. So we must see what you know in your heart. What you know must reflect in your doing. So it is not how much you know that matter, but how best you can impart, influence, and cause a permanent change in your environment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The absence of light is the presence of darkness. You are not called to compete with darkness. We are not in the ministry of competition. No, not to compete. You know, because competition comes in when you know that somebody is stronger. Are you getting what I'm saying? You only compete with somebody you cannot overcome. Somebody you cannot beat hands down. But that's not our calling. That's not our ordination. As the salt and the light of the world. So, our calling is not to compete. Our calling is to take dominion. He made man in his own image. And he said what? Take what? Take dominion. Our calling is to take over. So, our calling is not to negotiate with darkness. All right? Since you have come, darkness is saying, light, since you have come, can we sit down and talk? So, you know, this auditorium is big enough. Can't you just take your part and let me what? Take, no, that's not our calling. Not to compete with darkness, not to negotiate with darkness, but to what? To take over. When there is darkness in the night and you just come out with your candle, is your candle negotiating? Huh? Is it competing? What happened? It takes over. It takes dominion immediately. Darkness will just leave. The only problem is that we assume that darkness will not respond. And that's why we are not coming out. And Jesus said, What are you waiting for? Let that light do what? Let it shine. Release it. Why are you afraid? Allow that light to go. Release that light. Let it shine. This we need to know. Your identity as light demands action. Demands what? Action. So that's why we are talking about our identity and our functions. Let's look at very quickly some unique features of salt and light. Some of their unique features. You understand that salt is a substance used to flavor, to season, and to preserve. In other words, to purify food or any other thing that you know salt has the capacity to prevent from being decayed. But you need to know this thing about salt. One, its value and potency are not determined by quantity. Its value, its potency are not determined by what? By quantity. Just use your finger to touch a bowl of salt. Once your finger can just pick one and you put it in your mouth, what happened? What happened? Eh? You are not talking to me. You feel it. You feel it. So, I don't think God will listen to us. For us to be, find ourselves in the very corner of the room and be praying, Lord, we have not been able to do anything because we are few on this campus. Who tell you that you are few? And who is telling you that you need more people? Because we know salt, that its value, its potency are not determined by what? By quantity. Just a drop, just a touch, everyone that put it in his or her mouth will feel it. We feel it. Who tell you that you are too small? Who is telling you that you can't champion the cause of revival in that campus? Who is informing you that until your fellowship become big and you have 1,000 membership, that is only when you can do something meaningful. That's only when you can impart. No. Daniel alone is stood. The three Hebrews, they stood. Said, God, who we will serve, will deliver us. And if otherwise, we are not going to bow. And by that, they made the king to bow. What does that suggest? Once you're able to stand for God, the king in your environment must bow. Must bow. So stop complaining that you are not many. Praise the Lord. Oh, another interesting features about salt. Salt does not need to shout to cause an effect. Does not need to shout. Salt does not need to shout. Salt does not need to shout. When you're about to prepare your soup, you put palm oil or any type of oil, every other thing that comes in after, what happened? Huh? You hear their noise. When you put pepper, you hear the noise. Put another thing, you hear the noise. But as salt is coming, it will not make any noise. Yet, it will affect every other thing that it met in that pot. Christianity is not about shouting. Lighting your environment is not about shouting. It's not. It's not about noise making, which is becoming something that everybody want to do in this generation. So light is teaching us humility, is teaching us meekness, is teaching us simplicity of life. You don't need to be like any other person. You only need to be like Jesus. When a generation of popularity, everybody wants to be popular. Even when what you are doing is error, you want people to know you with that error. That's not the salt. That's not the future of the salt. Salt is very quiet. No noise. No self advertisement. No popularity. It's not interested in billboard. Not interested in advert. But it's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I said it when I started. I said one thing about salt is that it needs nothing to be added. You know, when you are looking for something plus you, it's simply saying you are light. You are fake. You are not original. Are we together? You don't add anything to salt. Or what do you add? Huh? You add small oil? Huh? In our world today, everything is about packaging. But salt is still saying, don't package me. I am what? I am okay. Do you add color to it? Eh? But you add color to some several other things. But salt is saying, just leave me as I am. Even with this, I will still make my impact. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope you know that salt is pure. The color is white. Always white. That's teaching us purity, transparency, and consistency. Anywhere, anytime, the color remains what? White. White. Salt will not compromise. It won't desire any other color. White, purity. Can I say to you that salt is not just important, it's needed. Not just what? Not just important, it's needed. The heart cannot do without it. So being a child of God, you are not just important. But what happened? You are needed. In that class, you are not just important. You are needed in that class. Without you, that class is not what? It's not complete. You are not just important. You are not just one of them. You are needed. God is intentional about us. It's not by accident that you are there. In your course of study, it's not by accident. In your class, you and your roommate, and every other thing. It's not. God is the one. He is the one monitoring your life. And make sure that everything works as it has planned. So you are not just important. You are a necessity to your generation. That's who we are. We are a necessity. Tan ba se pade won ta ba sinbe pade o pe ko se kini pade yen o pe gbogbo te ba kojo lati si obe te le gbagbe iyo kilo ma je ateni ani looto mo kere sugbon emi la dun gbogbo nte kojo. You are the salt of the heart. Salt is very important. When you read Old Testament, you come to realize that every offering and sacrifice had to be seasoned with salt. So in Leviticus chapter 2 verse 13 is a commandment given by God that don't forget to add what? To season. To purify your sacrifice and offering with what? With salt. You know, he went ahead and he said, he called it covenant of salt. So God entered into a covenant with his people and he called it covenant of salt. That is, it's a must. It's a necessity. Once you forget to add salt, don't bring it to me. When you bring it, I'm going to throw it back to you. That's what God is saying. That's how important you are. How important you are. Praise the Lord. And also, you need to understand that the effectiveness of salt is most felt when it is scattered. You know how you put salt to your food? Do you just put it in one place? What do? You spread it. You scatter it. You scatter it. And that is what God is doing with his children. Yes. It's not just for us to gather together in a place and be living there. No, what is going is to scatter us. Scatter us. He gather his children together. He scatter them abroad. He scatter them throughout the heart. Because he have this assurance that anywhere they find themselves, what did they do there? They make changes. They make effects. So you can see the effectiveness of the salt when you just put it together, when it remains in that lump. But when you scatter it. Hallelujah. Mi o mo boya se jo nje ri ti apa kan ma dun ta apa kan o ni dun. Has it happened to you before? Yes. That will tell you that you have not done the right thing with it. You scatter it. You spread it. You spread it. So as good as we love to be together, but we can't profit the kingdom if we just remain together like that. When the early disciple wanted to do that, he caused people to persecute them. They wanted to build a community of their own and not to affect their generation, not to affect the world. And Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. And they said, no, we prefer to stay here and be enjoying our fellowship, waiting for your arrival. I said, no, that's not the mission. So when they were not listening, he motivated and he moved enemies around and they were all persecuted. And they scattered. They scattered. When they scattered and the gospel was spread all over. All over. Philip is Salosi, Samaria. And there was a revival there. A lot of them like that were scattered. That is what God does with the salt. That's what he does. Somebody said, you can only know the true number of a church by the number of those they sent out. That's how to know the true number of a church. Not just sitting in a place and you are counting thousands, hundred. How many people are there standing for God without compromising their faith? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Light. What are the features of light? Let me mention just a few things. Number one, it doesn't shout, but it shines. It does not shout, but what? Shines. Does not shout, but shines. Can I tell you, You don't need this microphone in my hand to affect your generation. Do you hear me? What did I say? You don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need it. The world itself is already noisy. So when you hide your noise, nobody will hear you. The world is disturbed. The world is distracted. So all they want to see is just they need a very quiet voice. That's why John said, don't hide me to your noisemakers. I am not a noisemaker. I didn't come for that. I am what? A voice. I know what he did. He shows a desert. No, he left the city where people are still busy doing crazy and careless with their lives. Said, I can't be a part of this noise. Can't be a part of this noise. The gospel today is gradually being reduced to noise. God, when you go on social media, you cry for. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You have somebody coming and be telling that I am your father. So I have the right to tell you that you are free to fornicate with your boyfriend. I'm your father. Who is telling you that that is a sin? That's not a sin. I'm your father. Bunch of noisemakers. Light doesn't shout, yet shines. Shines. Put it in any corner. The reflection will be seen all over. Number two, he does not struggle for expression. Doesn't struggle for expression. He does not struggle for expression. I remember one time when I was the youth director, somebody came to my office and was begging me. Says, Pastor, fix me in one of the conferences. I said, you know, we are speakers already contacted, and he make one statement. Only one that utilize. You still reserve some. Sir, hello, what be that he blow it? Hello, mo papa, hello, blow it. Only a core po. Alagba show shegini. Koti ito. So what am I saying is that we struggle for expression today. We struggle for expression. But that's not the light. Light does not do what? Struggle for expression. Always overpower darkness, no matter how thick it is. And Jesus, and the Bible says in Isaiah, said, darkness will be thick. Great darkness. But do you know that the more dark the environment, the better the effect of light. The better. You know, you listen, ko shishef wa. I better go shishef. Ko shishef, I need dancing. Ejeudi 8:9. Kewa wue ware. So to badly surrender those of anipe, this is not the appropriate time. This is not the appropriate time. Our interference is one now. Only by two man take over. To help you own a conlemari. So why are you struggling for expression when you have the entire world? You are the salt, not of one village, of what? The heart. And the light of where? The world. Then you are still struggling for expression. Last thing about light, it communicates life. Light communicates what? Life. It communicates life. 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 Anywhere you see light, there is what? Life. 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 My last born of less than 3. Oti Monti Nigeria good or sorti nobody. Tamba ti muna wabai up nepa. You know, the environment will change immediately. It's like your life just will return. It's like life just will return. So life communicates life. And that's why God is sending us there. You are that life to bring back the dry bones. Sorry? You said my time is 5 minutes? All right. Can I just go to the implication of this? What's the implication? What's the implication? You are the light. You are the salt. And we have seen their uniqueness. We have seen their functionality. Then what's the implication? Number one, a function as the salt and the light of the world, God forbid, number one, for being purposeful. That's the implication. God wants us to be purposeful in the way we live our lives, especially the things of the kingdom. The Bible says, and Daniel purposed where? In his heart. Don't live your life to chance. Be driven by purpose. Being purposeful. You are the salt, you are the light. Be purposeful in life. You have the backing of God. There is nothing you cannot do as far as in the agenda of God. Be purposeful. Be purposeful. Resolve in your heart as a believer about God's will. Be driven by purpose. Know that God, he has planned for your life. And live a life of purpose. Number two, implication. Be intentional and be focused. Be what? Be intentional and be focused. All right? Anytime you want to put salt, are you with me? In what you are cooking, Do you spread the salt on everything on the table? What do you do? On that same pot. That's to be intentional. You know, what if you are spreading that salt beyond the pot, what happened to it? You are wasting the salt. Be focused. That's what the Bible is telling us. You are the salt of the earth. Live a focused life. Be intentional about what you are doing. Don't be intimidated by anything, by whatever sources around you. You have your space in the agenda of God. Be purposeful. Be focused. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right? If there is no light here, and we are holding this program in the night, and I have a torch with me, how do you think I will use that torch? How do you think I will use it? Will I just place it like this? How will I place it? I will place it like this. That's focus. If I place it like this, it's not going to be useful for me. So I will place it here. I will focus it on something. That is where I want to see the effect of light. Be intentional with your life. Why? Life is once. How many times? And for your information, you can't be a youth twice. How many times? Once. Don't waste the dew of your youth. Use it for something. The goal you fail to set, you will never score. You will never score it. Number three, implication. Be responsible and be reliable. What is God saying? He said, you are the light of the world. He's talking about being responsible. And he continued in verse, he said, Let what? Your light shine. That's what it means to be responsible. You are the light. Therefore, let it what? Let it shine. So God has brought us here. And if there's anything that you must not forget as you are going from this place, is that you must be responsible. Be responsible. Take responsibility. Light is responsible. God who have made us the light, he said, let it what? Let it shine. And be reliable. Don't excuse for failure. Don't do what? You are not talking. Don't excuse for failure. Don't excuse for failure. Jesus, your master and my master, said, when I was in the world like you, I am the light of the world. So, there's no amount of excuse that we can give. Jesus will not listen to us. As the salt of the heart and the light of the world, you are made to be responsible. And you must be reliable and be accountable. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number four, and the last one, be willing and be self-motivated. Be willing and be what? Be self-motivated. Be willing and be self-motivated. I hear people saying, people are not coming to encourage us. Do you need that? You're only denying that you are not the light. You are denying that you are not the salt. Salt does not need anything external. Light doesn't need anything what? External. the force to make effect is there inside of them. Be willing. Be self-motivated. The salt and the light does not need to be pushed. No need to be forced. They don't need any external influence, either to shine or to what? Or to make things sweet. Shall we rise to our feet? If we are the salt, we don't need anything external. You are the salt. Not that you are gradually becoming what? The salt. You are the light. Not you are like the light. Or you will soon become the light. So you have everything. And because you are complete, you have everything. Jesus said, is a command. He said, let your light what? So shine. You know, the word so is talking about being intentional. Let it, your light. He didn't say let your light shine. He said, let it so what? So shine. It means to be focused. That when it's not bringing the desired result, you know it. And you are putting more effort. You are putting more force. You are not going to stop until you get that result. Let it so shine. Put everything within you that everybody around you could see the effect of your light. Of your light. I want us to pray and cry to the Lord. Lord, I refuse to fail. Having listened to this message, it is not out of place for me to tell you that you'll be accountable if darkness finds a comfortable place around you. You'll be accountable. Lord, help me. Help my heart. I must not faint this regard. Help my heart. He said, you are a city that is set on the hill. You can't hide again. You have no place to hide, no place to dodge. Lord, help me. Help me. I refuse to fail. Make your grace sufficient for me to be the salt of this earth and the light of the world. Lord, as expected of you, for me to live for you, help me not to fail. I believe somebody is praying. Stop complaining. Salt doesn't complain. Light doesn't complain. Light is always looking for darkness. Not running away, not intimidated by it. Light is never afraid. It's not out there to impress, not out there to compete, not out there to negotiate. It takes over.